Hello, everyone. Welcome to the OJS Media Podcast. My name is OJ Spivey. I just want to get started and just update you on a few things, update you on a couple of topics that I have opinions on, and we'll just go from there. First thing I want to talk about is the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts being a new starting quarterback. There's just been so much talk and so many fans, media alike, people just taking sides as far as whether you are in the Jalen Hurts camp or you're in the Carson Wentz camp. And there are a lot of reasons why people can be at both, and that's okay. But I just want to give the listeners my take on Jalen Hurts, why he is now the starting quarterback, and what we can look for in the future. But we need to backtrack. And from my standpoint, I just believe that, and I truly believe this, and this is not to say that the Eagles front office knows exactly what they're doing. You can criticize Howie Roseman in the front office for a lot of negligence. And no matter how well Jalen Hurts does this year, whether he takes the Eagles to the playoffs, has a good record, has a bad record, not much is going to change with this Eagles franchise until someone else ends up selecting the players, being in charge, picking these players. Because for the last three seasons, we have seen this mediocrity past the Super Bowl, and you'll continue to see that, unfortunately, as long as the same regime is in charge. But back to Jalen Hurts, I do truly believe that they did pick him in the second round of the draft for insurance purposes. You look back at Carson Wentz, I know people hate to talk about this, but hey, Carson Wentz, he has failed to finish the last three seasons, whether it was that unfortunate leg injury back in 2017, the Super Bowl season, the back injury in 2018, where he lost, wasn't able to play the last quarter of the season, I believe. And also, that back injury, I think, was more severe than a lot of people let on. And who knows if he's fully recovered from that. People have said that he has, but who knows? I think that back injury is really the injury that we really need to look at as far as Wentz's regression. And of course, last season, last January, when he had the concussion. So those are those three injuries. And I think at that point, I strongly believe at that point, Eagles said, hey, we got to take a quarterback. There's no more fools here. We do like the other guy, Nate Sudfeld, but we really want a guy who can come right in and play in case Carson Wentz is not available, especially towards the end of the season. But 2020 has been so bad for Carson Wentz, whether you blame the coach, whether you blame the personnel, or whether you blame Wentz himself. He's been so bad that it has just become problematic where they had no choice but to put Jalen Hurts in there. I think the majority of people who follow the Eagles can be on board with that, can agree with that. It is unfortunate, but the reason I believe that Jalen Hurts was finally given the keys to this quarterback position is that Wentz has struggled so much with just the simple things, the very simple things that NFL quarterback should be doing. And that's just simple throws, the simple screen passes, the swing passes, avoiding the sacks. Yes, he's been sacked, I believe, 50 times this year, Wentz has. But you could easily attribute half of those sacks being his fault. The throwaways, just throwing the ball away. It has just been egregious play after play to where he has had time to throw the ball away, but he failed to do so. And you see that difference right now with Jalen Hurts. I know it's only a game and a half, but you also listen to what some of the players are saying as far as his leadership qualities. And we don't know what's going to happen. Jalen Hurts could go 1-3 these last four games. I do believe he's going to start the rest of the season. He could go 1-3. He could go 3-1. And he could go 500. But I do think that he's going to play well. And if he does play well and the Eagles end up going to the playoffs, they're going to have a problem. Eagles are definitely going to have a problem. I mean, they have a problem now, but they are kind of stuck with Wentz for the foreseeable future. Unless a team is willing to trade with them, I know it's a tremendous, tremendous cap hit if the Eagles pull the trigger on Carson Wentz and send him elsewhere. But if Jalen Hurts plays that well, and God forbid he takes the Eagles to play, or they somehow pull this awful division out, they pull out a division championship, another one, back-to-back, first time since 04 that any team in the NFC East has won a division in back-to-back years. It's going to be an issue, and the Eagles, they've got some decisions to make. They got a lot of decisions to make with this roster because they're locked into a lot of guys, and their salary cap situation is just terrible. It's just awful. So it remains to be seen. But if Jalen Hurts plays as good as I believe he's going to play, they're going to have some issues. And as far as the overall in the NFL is concerned, I know it's hard to win back-to-back Super Bowls. Only a handful of teams have done it in this era, you know, the entire Super Bowl era. But I find it hard-pressed to pick anyone except for the Chiefs to go back to the Super Bowl. They still have only lost one game. Even when they have not looked good early, they are never out of it, just never out of it. Their defense might be a little soft and all, but they are never out of it as long as they have a healthy Patrick Mahomes. They have so many weapons. They have so many toys on offense. And Andy Reid has just elevated his game as I say right now, he's the best coach in the NFL. He has a lot of tools to work with, but he was very instrumental in getting those tools. He has a GM who works well with him. Andy Reid basically has the final say, but I mean, he is really doing his thing with Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes is well on his way to perhaps getting another MVP trophy, his second in 3 years. We'll see what happens down the stretch between he and Aaron Rodgers, but I do strongly believe that Patrick Mahomes can get another MVP trophy. And again, they're never out of it. So I'm just going to pick Kansas City out of the AFC until somebody proves me wrong. You have Pittsburgh, who they're struggling right now. They started off, 11-0. But they're leaking oil. They've been leaking oil for a while, even when they were undefeated. But I just don't think that they'll hold up physically. I don't think they'll just hold up as a team to beat Kansas City in an AFC championship game, even if they make it. They may very well make it, but I just don't see anybody beating Kansas City. Tennessee, I don't know if they're as good as they were last year. Of course, they have Derrick Henry. They have Tannehill at quarterback. They're playing well for the most part, but I just don't trust their defense. And they have lost the handful of games that they've lost this year. They're probably games where they should have won, and they've just had disappointing performances. So I don't know if you can trust Tennessee. But one of the X factors in the AFC could be the Buffalo Bills. Of course, they're going to win the division, the AFC East, easily. But I think if they get into a match with the Kansas City Chiefs, perhaps in the AFC Championship game, if they can wield their way through, it's going to be interesting. I still see the Chiefs pulling it out of the AFC, But I think Buffalo is a team that could maybe give them a bit of a run or at least have a competitive game, because I think the Bills will be game ready and absolutely nobody will want to play them in the playoffs. With the NFC, I believe it's much more wide open. I do revert to the Green Bay Packers if they happen to hold on to home field advantage. Nobody would want to go there, Lambeau Field, in January, because it's going to be likely single digits there. And you have the dome teams as far as the Saints and the Rams going to see them going in Green Bay. I don't think they could win. And that's going to be important for the Packers down the stretch. And I think it's important for all the top teams in the NFC going here deep in December, these last 3 weeks of the season, because home field is just going to be clutch for any NFC team. But I do believe that a team like Green Bay can go into LA, can go into New Orleans and still beat the Saints, still beat the Rams. But I do also, I don't trust New Orleans, because I believe even though they're great defensively, they have weapons on offense. I'm not sure about the quarterback position, even when Breeze comes back. I know they wouldn't win in the playoffs if they had to rely on Taysom Hill for a long period of time, but we'll see. We'll see. But if they get home field advantage, they might have a better shot of going to the Super Bowl. I'll say that. But I will say watch out for the Rams. I know the Rams aren't on everybody's radar. However, if they end up winning that NFC West division, I think they're going to be a tough out, because I think they are balanced both offensively and defensively. You never know with Jared Goff, but I think they are well coached. And I do think that they have a good team. They're definitely improved from last year, where they took a step back from being in the Super Bowl the previous season. But I do think that's a team that people should not sleep on as the playoffs come. Now I want to switch to the NBA, and probably the biggest story in the NBA is just the James Harden rumors, the James Harden trade rumors. And for starters, the big rumor is James Harden wanting to come to Philly, also wanting to go to Brooklyn. But I'll just stick with Philly right now because that's where I am. I've been on record on Twitter saying that no, I don't want to see James Harden here in Philadelphia. I think it would be a bad trade. Not to say that he's not a great player. He's averaging 34 points a game, 7 assists, gives you that every night. But I just have a bad feeling that it just won't end well. I don't think it's going to be a great fit, especially if the Sixers have to part with Ben Simmons, even if they don't have to part with Ben Simmons, even if both Ben and Joel Embiid are still here. I just don't think it's going to be a great fit. And honestly, nobody can prove to me that James Harden is going to resignate to winning a championship. I mean, he's had several cracks at winning a championship, and he's had good players around him. Great players for that matter. And he's had good nucleuses down in Houston for quite a few seasons, but I just don't think his game, it's fun to watch. It's great to talk about, but I just don't think his game resonates to winning a championship. And if he comes here to Philly, I just think it'll just destroy things for the Sixers. And it'll also, I know people want to see that win now mentality. And if Harden is here, that automatically elevates to championship or bust, or at least finals or bust. And I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. I just personally want to see Simmons and Embiid mesh with Doc Rivers' system. First year coach, Doc Rivers coming over from the Clippers. I want to see these guys mesh with Doc's system and the new guys they have, as far as Seth Curry, Danny Green, etc. I want to see these guys, and I think they can excel together with this 72-game schedule this year. We'll see what happens. And as far as Harden is concerned, I should say, I do think he will be moved by the trade deadline, maybe before then. I just don't want to see him here in Philly. I just have a bad feeling about it. Other than what I just mentioned, I can't put my finger on it. I just think it'll be a regretful move if the Sixers pull the trigger on that, whether Ben Simmons is in the deal or not. As far as the East is concerned, I believe the Eastern Conference is wide open. No team really stands out to me as far as a clear-cut favorite to go to the finals. I know the Milwaukee Bucks has the best odds of making the finals, but I'm still not sure. I got to see them for a few games. They have made some tweaks. Giannis has made a commitment to being in Milwaukee long-term. Good for him. But I just have to see more of how the Bucks progress this season. Miami, who made it to the finals last year, I'm not sure if they could duplicate that again. And then you throw in Toronto, you throw in Boston, and you throw in the Sixers. I think any of those five teams can actually come out of the East. I do think the Western Conference will be competitive as usual. It's sort of the stronger league as far as team powerhouses and consistency. We saw that in the playoffs last year. I don't see that changing much. But I look at the Lakers how I look at the Chiefs in the NFL. I revert back to them as far as they're the team to beat until somebody proves them otherwise. You can maybe throw the Clippers in there. With the new coaching, we'll see how Kyrie and Paul George come back. I'm sorry, not Kyrie. You see how Kawhi Leonard and Paul George come back this year under a new coach. I know Denver's good. Other than that, I don't know who else can even compete with the Lakers. So we'll see what happens. We'll definitely see what happens. And as far as the Lakers is concerned, you do have those other teams who are really, really good. But can they beat the Lakers in the 7-game series? And also, how could I forget? We'll see how well Golden State comes back. They don't have Klay Thompson for this year, and another unfortunate injury for him. But I think as long as Steph Curry is leading the Warriors, they'll be competitive as well. I don't want to count them out as far as being a finals contender. I don't think they'll make it. I don't think they'll beat the Lakers in a 7-game series, push come to shove, but don't count the Warriors out with Steph and the young men that they have on the squad. Lastly, I just want to say a little something about Major League Baseball. This past week, Major League Baseball announced that they're going to recognize the Negro Leagues as a major league. I'm a bit torn with that gesture, although it does give a victory to the life's work of others who have championed this cause to just recognize the Negro Leagues as a major leagues. But I do have a hunch that MLB will end up profiting from this. It's also important that they are upfront. They are apologetic, awfully apologetic from the racism, the exclusion, and just the mundane approach that Major League Baseball has taken all these years in regard to the Negro Leagues. Yes, they've allowed, the Baseball Hall of Fame is a different entity than Major League Baseball, but they have allowed numerous players election to the Hall of Fame, but they really need to own this. They really need to own this from the racism of the owners, the racism of the commissioners over time, and they still need to own baseball, modern day baseball, as just being dormant in their cities. I know they have different programs that they sponsor, However, Major League Baseball really needs to own this before they take on the Negro Leagues as a major league. And I'm just skeptical of it. And maybe they'll start making jerseys, Nike jerseys, for the Negro Leaguers like Josh Gibson, Satchel Paige, Judy Johnson, Cool Papa Bell. I can go on and on and on. But I just have a funny feeling about Major League Baseball. So that's my take for now for the OJS Media Podcast. Coming up, we're going to have some great interviews for you. And we're going to have some great things in store for 2021. It is going to be more of an interview-based podcast where you'll be hearing from some very interesting people locally, nationally, just all through the world of sports and culture. So stay tuned for that. My name is OJ Spivey. This is the OJS Media Podcast, and I'll talk to you soon.